Welcome to Mind the Gap by Fresh Chat, a podcast where experts and hustlers share their stories on growth, marketing, and customer experience. I'm Abhishek, and I'm your host for the day.
Content creation has evolved. Companies and brands have turned video first, and video personalization has been seeing great adoption. Spending several hundred or thousands of dollars to outsource videos or thinking about videos only for big brands is the thing of the past. Our guest today, Tyler, is the VP of Marketing at Vidyard, joins us to talk about video ABM, what to track in video marketing, and increasing the lifeline of videos.
First question, you know, moving from a video for an audience to working on personalized video at scale. You know, I remember a time a couple of years ago when everybody moved to YouTube. You know, it can be a product video, it can be a demo of a product, or it can just be about how they are better than somebody else. From looking at something like that, we moved into a space where you're talking about personalized video. It can be from a company like yours, Vidyard, or from one of your competitors. But today, I think market offers something which is personalized video. I remember a time, I think this is largely for the audience, where the first time I got an email from Vidyard, I had a video with my name on it. And I just froze. I decided to play the video because I was impressed. How has the market handled this? Or what has changed in this? How has the trend helped the marketers? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, you know, it's been a really exciting evolution of video as a content type over the last, it's really been the last decade, to be honest. It's kind of been a 10-year evolution if you go back to, you know, a number of years ago where, you know, to your point, most marketers were, you know, creating one-to-many videos and they might create, you know, one or two per year because it was very expensive and time-consuming to do it. And they were generating, you know, videos that would get the maximum amount of reach and, again, very much sort of a broadcast mentality, and then using platforms like a YouTube to host that content and maybe embedding on their own website as well. But those days have changed dramatically. And, you know, a lot of that is because video has become more accessible. The medium has become more interesting and creative. But also we've started to figure out how to make it a more integrated part of our marketing programs. And when you talk about things like that personalized video you received from us, you know, that's all about, you know, the ability for us to create more content at scale. So we're doing lots of different campaigns throughout the year that incorporate video. But we have the technology where, you know, we use a marketing automation tool behind the scenes that can, you know, coupled with Vidyard, can automate the process of personalizing, customizing, or sort of curating videos for individuals. And so, you know, we now have that, you know, ability to say, great, I want to create a list of, you know, 5,000 people who fit this profile, and I want to send them this video and automate having their name, their company name, other information pulled right into the content itself. It's kind of like the early days of you know, merging, merges within emails. It's really kind of like the same idea of what's coming to light. And to your point, it's something new. It's exciting. It literally brings the viewer into the story. And it's an interesting way to, you know, boost engagement in this time when it's hard, really, really hard to get people's attention.
Right. Now, I'm thinking of use cases like ABM, you know, account-based marketing. And I'm thinking Vidyard or customized video largely can play a huge role in, you know, going behind a set of customers or going behind a set of prospects, making them know about you, you know, scream in front of them, talking about your product. And then they're like, okay, this is there everywhere. And this makes a lot of sense to me. And this was the old style ABM. And suddenly we're talking about, hey, you don't have to look at us everywhere. Just look at this once and you'll be floated. Come to me. You know, that kind of an experience that, you know, personalized video offer. Can you talk about ABM that you can offer with something like customized video and share a good example, maybe one of your case studies in terms of how a personalized video marketing has helped reach a customer or made it better for them? Can you talk about that?
Well, I think an account-centric approach, ABM, and, you know, account-based selling as well is actually a really great example of where I think video and personalized video is starting to play a really important role. And it links back to what I said earlier, which is it's harder than ever to get somebody's attention. And when you're thinking about an account-based model, you know, a lot of those people you're going after are often cold prospects, right? Because you're identifying them proactively. You're going out and trying to build awareness. You know they're the perfect fit. But I think it's actually harder than even other tactics to get that person's attention and make them want to lean in because they didn't necessarily raise their hand as an inbound lead. And so to do that, you know, it's the old tactics of, you know, spray and pray emails, even really targeted emails. But if they're text-based and they look like everything else they're getting, they're just not going to stand out. You know, people are less likely to click on digital ads and all those kinds of things. So video is really standing out in that world. And, you know, we're seeing customers use automated personalization, like we talked about earlier, where they may have, you know, a video developed that they then automate personalizing that video with the individual recipient's name or their company name and having that actually in the thumbnail image. And again, when somebody gets that in a business, they're much more likely to click through than if they're just getting a text-based email or even just a generic video. And a lot of our stats are showing that those individuals are 2 to 3 times more likely to engage in that content when it's A, video, and when it's B, been actually personalized to them as a recipient. So there's great power in that to drive response rates from people that are, you know, traditionally a cold prospect who may not be engaged with you. So I think that's one angle to it. And then the other side that we're seeing is the idea of customized one-to-one videos in that sort of model. And so while, you know, I'm a marketer myself, I'm, you know, VP marketing here at Vidyard, and our marketing team will do those kinds of video outreach in an automated way. But in parallel, our sales team are doing one-to-one video messages where they're actually hitting record. We've got an app called Go Video that people use for that. And they hit the record button in their browser. They're on camera actually delivering a quick personal message to that individual. They might write their name on a whiteboard or do something else to put something on the screen that they can visually identify with. And they're sending these one-to-one videos in parallel, which is a much more human connection, right? And it's, you know, much more, again, likely that that person is going to engage in that content than if they just have a text-based email that looks cold and sterile. And so we're seeing lots of different companies pair these techniques up. You know, marketing is automating personalized videos being sent to those accounts. The sales team are sending one-to-one video messages. And the sort of aggregate effect of that for these, you know, prospects can be really, really powerful because not only is it standing out from all the other stuff they get every day, but it's creating a more emotional and personal connection. And they can immediately identify people in the company. And like you said, have those kind of wow and surprise and delight moments where they go, okay, this is an interesting company and I really should pay attention to this. And I think that's so key in today's account-based marketing programs.
Right. Okay. Now, how do you think something like a video, you know, generally video, not just personalized, fits in the customer journey? You know, what effect does video have in the customer journey? You know, once somebody is a customer, how does video influence?
Well, I think that's the most important thing with video today. For any marketer or sales or entrepreneur out there thinking about, you know, where does video fit into my buyer's journey and my customer journey, the answer today is everywhere. It's, you know, customers are expecting video, right? We're all growing up on video now. It's you know, the most consumed media online by a long shot. And it's just become an expected part of how people want to interact with brands. But the important thing is, at the same time, audience expectations have changed, right? They're not expecting every video to be, you know, a Hollywood production or, you know, a movie trailer. They are expecting, in many cases, you know, authentic, genuine content that just, you know, again, puts a face to the name, helps build transparency with your company, and shows them really what you're all about. And so the reason I say that is it makes it a lot more accessible for companies to start to use throughout that buyer's journey. And you think about, you know, we talked a bit about top of the funnel and using sort of awareness building videos, but more and more that we're seeing now is investment in what we'd call sort of mid and bottom of funnel content for educating prospects or customers on, you know, the art of the possible or, you know, showcasing new features and new capabilities, things that help visual learners really understand what it is that you can do and that, you know, how that really differentiates you from competitors or how they're going to get value from those capabilities. And that kind of content, again, doesn't need to be outsourced and cost, you know, $20,000 to produce a video. A lot of our clients are just doing it in-house, right? They're using screen capture tools or they're, you know, getting in front of a whiteboard and, you know, turning on the camera. They're doing things that are, you know, simpler, more authentic, but can be just as impactful. So we're seeing that sort of content used throughout different stages of the buyer's journey, and whether it's pre-sale in those later stages for educating and convincing buyers, or for existing customers, again, introducing new products, right? Monthly newsletters that have, quick videos that summarize, what's new and, other things like that. And again, it's just a great way to build a more emotional connection with your audience and stand out as a brand and make sure that, again, they're seeing you not just as, a vendor, but as a partner, right? As real people, getting your own employees on camera and putting in that extra effort to give them valuable content. And so I think, I'd love to specify an individual point, but I honestly believe that it's, lots of different stages of that customer journey where you want to think about, okay, I need to get a message out there. I need to communicate with my audience. Is video going to help deliver that message, right? And if so, don't use the excuse of, oh, I got to outsource it and it's going to cost me $20,000, right? Think about how you can leverage your own employees and instead of writing it down, get it on camera and try to create something that's going to be a bit more memorable for your audience. And I think that's where we are today as a market.
Right. Because videos are so inside the DNA of video, I'm just too curious about this. How are your teams structured? Is everybody thinking video? Because it looks like the sales folks are sending out videos, which means they're not shy in front of the cameras. They love to record. They love to drill the message in the record, not just shy on an email, and then send that message as a video. And I think that's something the sales guys are doing. I think even your marketers are looking at videos in scale and all that. I'm sure there's probably a video production team in-house, which thinks of creative direction and all that. How are your team structured? And how did you get your entire team to think video first?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. So again, in transparency, we are a about 200 person company, and our marketing team is about 18 people of those 200, and then of course our sales team and R&D and others. So that's just for those listening. That's sort of the size and makeup of our company. Within our marketing team, we have of those 18 people, we have two video producers, we have two content marketers, we have three designers. So that team is sort of our creative team. And then the other half of the team are, typical functions like product marketing, demand generation, and so on. And I think, one of the big things, you're absolutely right. We've created kind of a video culture, which is, I think, really, really important for businesses to start thinking about. But I do think of us just like you. We think of ourselves as a content first company, right? And as much as video is really, really important for us, I don't always think of us as a video first. We do think of ourselves as a content first company. We're trying to build a market. We're trying to educate businesses. We're trying to connect with them in more personal ways. And frankly, often video becomes the best medium to do that, because when you think about things like, again, how do you get awareness with content? Things like video really stand out. How do you educate very well? Well, video is, processed in long-term memory. It's more memorable. A lot of people identify as visual learners. And so with those kind of key elements, video becomes a big part. But we do a lot of different kind of content. And, it's all about this idea of, kind of great storytelling, great writing, building a brand and a voice in the market. That all said, as we approach different programs, I think the really important thing that we do is we always ask ourselves, should this be represented in video, or should video support or complement or be a hero of this campaign? Right. So when we're going in our marketing team is working on our next big campaign, we're always thinking and making sure we're checking that box of, does video play a role in this campaign or not? Right. And sometimes it doesn't. Right. We'll do a research report, and it's a written report, and it'll go on in that mode. And sometimes we'll say, we don't need a video to support this. But other times we'll check that box and go, yeah, a short, 30-second animated video to promote the findings from the report that we can use on social should be a part of that campaign. And so I think it's that simple step of always just thinking through, does video support this campaign? Is this blog post actually best articulated through a video? Is this content series, again, could it be leveled up by leveraging video content and putting somebody on camera and making it more human and personal? And then our sales team as well, right? So they've built out their sales cadences. So those who are doing outbound prospecting, they don't do just videos, right? They have, like a lot of companies, they'll have about a 10 to 15 touch sales cadence over a period of time for net new prospects. And they'll do 3 or 4 video touches within that, but they're also mixing in email and phone and social outreach and other things. It just so happens that often videos are the ones that really stand out, but they support that broader set of activities. And so I think, there's a lot of ideas packed in there, but I think it really just comes back to that notion of, you know, building a culture where people, you know, first of all, aren't afraid to incorporate video, but where they're really encouraged to think about it and to make sure with, you know, each cadence that we're building, each message we're sending out, each campaign we're building, we're always making that mental check of, should video be a part of this? And if so, how can it add value to the conversation? And I think most people just miss that. And they only think about video when it's a big brand campaign or something specific to social. And I think that's the big thing that's got to change.
Right. Okay. I know I had a set of questions, but you know, while I'm talking to you, I have new ones that are in my mind. And I'm going to take the liberty to ask you that. Now, you know, I'll tell you something that's crazy. Right. Now, when, of course, I've heard of your company, and when we decided to talk, when we decided to have you on the podcast, I looked at Vidyard's website again. And what I found was, there was, you know, as a marketer, I found one fold there, and that fold was a video. And just below that video, I had three sections which talks about Vidyard for marketers, Vidyard for scale, Vidyard for personalization, and all of that. And on these three cards, I click on any of those cards, and I see three more videos. And then just CTAs after the video. So I'm thinking, hey, so which means people who land on Vidyard's website is probably looking at a video first, and then deciding what they want to accomplish. Then clicking on the page further, and then looking at one or two more videos before a CTA happens. Now, I'm really curious. Now, how does your conversion stack up against text? Is it any different?
So it's a great observation that you made. And actually, I'll summarize it with a quote that I remember Mark Zuckerberg saying a number of years ago when he was talking about when Facebook really got into video, and he was talking about it as, why were they going so hard on video? And I remember him saying something really that stuck with me was, he said, you know, today, video complements text, right? And so most websites and other places or messages, it's text first, and then video is used to support it. Whereas, and again, he felt that, but you know, in the very near future, he expects the inverse to happen, which is where text will support video, and video will become the more primary communication mechanism with text to support it, for, you know, sort of skimming or, you know, providing context. And I think it was a really interesting observation and something, again, that stuck with me. And I think that's kind of what you start to see on our website, where it's the text complements the video. And, you know, the videos really are the heroes, but there's enough text there to give you an idea of, you know, okay, what it is that we want to talk about. But then we're encouraging you to watch the video to get the whole story. And the reason we're doing that is, you know, yeah, we could get all that same information, you know, down on text in the page. But when we encourage you to watch it in video format, it has a greater opportunity to actually create a more emotional connection, right? And stimulate an emotional response when you actually see it and you process it in a visual way. And it allows us to, again, bring our brand to life in ways that text can't. And so I think we get a lot of benefit from sort of pushing people, right? We're not forcing them to watch video. They can get the gist of things by reading the text. But it really pushes them into that mode of discovering things through that video format. And, you know, and again, we've talked to people who have done it and, you know, and sure enough, they respond that, you know, walking away, yeah, this is really interesting. And I'm really, and they always talk about how they want to learn more and they want to do business with our brand. And a lot of that is part of that emotional connection that comes with experiencing the content in that way. And they meet some of our employees in the videos and those kinds of things. So that stuff I think is really, really important for today's brands. And we certainly have tested things in many different ways and have always found that the conversion rates on those pages are higher when we have video content. But what's also neat is with a platform like Vidyard, and we'll talk about analytics, but we can actually track how long are they watching those different videos. So it's actually more valuable to us because we not only know, oh, you came to this page and you did this, we actually know, oh, you watched this video for 2 minutes and this video for a minute, and in this one you only watched for 10 seconds. And having that level of engagement data, we actually know more about you once you do convert than we would if you were just skimming text, which is really powerful. So we see it as a win-win for the audience and for us as marketers.
That's something that I was thinking about as well. You know, I think most marketers are trying to keep engagement on a page to about 2 minutes and 2.5 minutes, probably, if it's a landing page. And here I'm looking at your website and I see each video lasts about a minute and a half or two. And I'm thinking, hey, three videos together, he's talking about 6 minutes. And if one is engaging, am I going to look at the other? And the truth is, I will look to the other as well. So, which means that I currently have only data of heat maps on saying, hey, this guy is scrolling, not scrolling. He's reading this, not reading this. He's clicking this, not clicking this. Whereas when I'm using a video, probably I have insights on how long is somebody clicking on this? Is he interested in this? After clicking at this, is he looking at this as well? Now that's gold mine, right, for a marketer. Now that's something that I don't know why I've not tried it all these years.
Well, it's interesting because it is a different mentality. We've been taught as marketers to track clicks and likes and, you know, mostly that, right? Like at the end of the day and form fills, right? And those are, you know, those are important measures, but they represent, you know, activities, not intent or, you know, true engagement. And so it's, you know, I certainly do see this happening, not just with video, right? There's other technologies that are starting to surface to do this with other types of content. But I get really excited with that idea of being able to track engagement in our content and in our messages, because once you can start doing that, you can quickly identify who's actually really leaning into our message and which parts of our message are they actually leaning into. And if you're smart about how you sort of, you know, create the metadata around your content and you build the analytics, you know, you can get really, really close to being able to hand a lead off to your sales team to say, you know, this person is qualified because they've actually engaged in all of this content and they appear to be most interested in this product because they spent, you know, 18 minutes binging on content related to that specific product, right? So that to me is kind of the end goal for the near future. And as a marketer, gets me really excited because it provides intent and interest, not just activity-centric information.
Lovely. That's useful. Thank you. Now, when we're looking at metrics to track, you know, most part of video marketing that, you know, personalized video is involved in today, you know, personalized video is largely used in emails. You know, people send out personalized videos through emails, and these video has those personalized messages and all of that. So what kind of metrics does this stack up against the reply metric, or does this stack up against the click metric? You know, what gets better?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because, you know, so with the videos themselves, right? So as you're putting videos out on your website, your social channels, or wherever they happen to be going, you know, the metrics specific to the videos, you've got things, of course, like number of views, which are representing the reach, right? But views for most of it, unless it's super top of funnel, where your goal is just to get reach and brand awareness, you know, the goal for most videos you're creating isn't to get a lot of views, right? The goal that most for videos most businesses are creating is to generate a conversion, right? It's to generate a new lead. It's to accelerate somebody through the buyer's journey. It's to help close a deal, right? It usually ties back to pipeline and revenue. And so, you know, one of the problems a lot of us have today is, great, I'm putting these videos out there and I'm hosting them, you know, on YouTube or Vimeo and embedding them on my website. And the only metrics I'm getting back are number of views, And maybe I'm getting back the kind of engagement chart or the drop-off rate, right? So that's helpful. So drop-off rate is also helpful to know, like, great, I got, you know, 3,000 views, but, you know, everybody dropped off after 30 seconds and it's a minute long video, so something's not working. So I think those are the initial things. But the more important piece is starting to be able to track how does that video influence the end goal, which, again, is likely lead generation, pipeline generation, or revenue. And in order to do that, you need to be able to associate a video view with an individual and an account, because otherwise I can't know if that actually influenced, you know, net revenue in the end. And so that's a big part of what we actually built as Vidyard in the early days was, you know, the analytics behind the scenes to be able to tie those things together and to be able to say that, you know, this individual, this contact in my marketing and CRM systems, I can now know that they watched, you know, the video on our homepage for 2 minutes, they watched this customer story video, and they watched this webinar for 10 minutes and this product demo. And all that data flows into their contact record inside of marketing automation. It flows into their record in CRM. And now you can actually start to report back and say, oh, this video has helped to influence, you know, X amount of leads or X amount of revenue. Or, you know, we can look at it in aggregate and say videos are help, you know, deals that are influenced by video have, you know, shorter deal cycles or whatever it happens to be. And so to me, that's really the end goal, is tying it back to pipeline revenue and closed business. And it's hard to do today without the right technology, because, you know, otherwise you're really just left with views and you don't know much more than that. So I think that's really where the market is heading, and making sure we have better indicators of how these videos are helping to influence the bottom line.
Right. Makes sense. Now, the other question, I'm just going to ask it differently. A written text probably stays along a lot longer. We all remember Shakespeare, his work, several more like that, poems, everything that, you know, artists have written all these years. And we also have very little number of, or lesser number of movies like The Sound of Music, you know. So my assumption is that the lifespan of a video is probably much shorter. You know, I look back at my photos 4 years ago and I look like a duck and I don't like myself at all. And the videos I look at myself, I don't like it at all. So I'm thinking the lifespan of a video is probably a lot lesser. So what kind of lifespan of a video are we talking about here? Now, it looks like a lot of investment in making a video, whether it's personalized or centric. And if it means that the lifespan of it is way too lesser, you know, what benefit does that form of content have? This is my assumption. I'm just asking this question to understand.
Yeah, no, it's a great observation because you know, and I think you're right that videos can have a shorter lifespan, and they may not be as easily updatable, you know, as things change over time. Though there's things happening to support that as well. But I think, you know, what you got to think about is a lot of it depends on the purpose of the video, you know, where it fits in the buyer's journey, all those kinds of things. And so what I would typically see is, you know, if there's videos that you're putting, you know, on your website, on your homepage, you know, the hero of your product page and so on, those are ones that are going to have a longer lifespan. The ones you're going to want to invest a little bit more into in terms of production value and working with agencies perhaps to nail the storyline and so on. And those videos you might expect to be on your website, on your main pages for a couple of years, right? And that's often the case that we see, and sometimes longer, sometimes shorter, depending on your company. So those are the ones you're going to want to put a little bit more investment into. And you can say, yeah, we can justify working with an agency, you know, spending $10,000 to $20,000 on, you know, a really hero asset here because we want this to live for a couple of years and it's not going to change even though our underlying products might change. But then as you move further down and you think about things like, you know, product demo videos, customer success stories, you know, again, one-to-one videos, campaign style videos, those don't necessarily expect to live a long life and they have a very specific focus. And so those are ones where, frankly, you don't have to necessarily spend as much on production, but they can, again, last. They might just be one campaign. They might be something that lasts, you know, 3 to 6 months for a product demo and then it needs to be updated at a later time. But again, I think you don't want to approach it with the mentality of, oh, this is only going to last me 3 months. It's not worth doing as a video. You think about, you know, how can it help me achieve my near-term goals and how can I balance the ROI story? Yeah, I might not be one I'm going to spend $20,000 on, but that doesn't mean I can't do a video. And that's what we got to get over, right? And that's part of that video culture mentality, right? Our content marketers here create videos and yeah, they're not, you know, incredible production value, but they hit the mark in terms of the value that they deliver and the quality and the content. So I think that's the big thing we need to balance is how can we use video in a way that we don't expect it to necessarily have a long shelf life, but it gets immediate value and we can do it at a lower cost by making video just a part of how we create content.
Lovely. So is it right for me to assume that a company like Vidyard or a personalized video company will probably look at the backward and the forward integration, largely in terms of, you know, now that you have personalized video, you'll probably improve on it by having more analytics, better customizations at scale and all that. While you're looking at all of this, because video production is so tough and takes a lot of time, would you also look at something where it's a smaller snippet, probably a GIF, a customized GIF or a customized image? Is that something that Vidyard or similar companies might look into as well?
Yeah, I think about it as there's sort of three aspects to it. You know, one, like you said, is the back end data. So no matter how you're creating the videos, the back end analytics to make sure those can be as rich as possible for knowing who's watching what and how that's influencing you know, your bottom line. And then you've got the making it simpler for people to create that simple content. So to your point of, you know, we have to make it easier for people to create these short videos, these simple one-off videos. And that's where tools like we've created GoVideo. The point of GoVideo is to make it really easy to do a webcam video, a screen capture video, and something that's not expected to have a long shelf life, but something to use in the moment to improve how we're communicating with video. So continuing to invest in tools that make that easier and easier for companies so that they can create video at scale. And then the third piece is that, you know, high end of the front end, which is for the marketing teams that are creating really compelling experiences, how can they take that to the next level with video and not just, again, you know, a lean back video experience, but how can they create even more personalized videos, customized videos, choose your own adventure videos, right? Where somebody can start watching and then select, oh, I'm interested in this and that. And it dynamically presents different content to them, you know, more interactive video, those kinds of things, which actually create experiences through video. And those get me really excited. So those are the three things I think about: the back-end data, simplifying, you know, creation at scale, and then enabling really high-end experiences that drive people to really convert at a high volume for those higher-end marketing programs.
Okay.
Let's now move on to the rapid-fire round.
Okay, so what's your favorite book, Tyler?
So my favorite book, you know, it's... I'll actually give you the most recent book that I've read as an answer to that, which is a bit of a cop-out, but you know, I'm somebody who kind of moves through content quickly. And the last one I've read, which I would recommend to any marketer, is a book by Marcus Sheridan called They Ask, You Answer. And the reason I really liked it, it's a very simple idea of, you know, as marketers, whether you're doing video or any other content, is the importance of approaching our content and our stories from the perspective of your audience and the questions that they're asking. And the real sharp focus on how do you answer those questions first and foremost above anything else. And it's a very simple idea. But when you read the book, it actually, you know, there were so many times where I was going, oh my God, that's so obvious, but I'm not doing that. I need to do that. So it's one of those ones that was super practical. And I really enjoyed it for that, because I actually walked away with like three or four to-dos like right away of things that should have been obvious, but I wasn't doing. So They Ask, You Answer by Marcus Sheridan is my vote there.
Lovely. Okay. What's your favorite marketing resource? Where do you look for stuff? Where do you nibble your stuff on marketing?
There's a few places that I nibble on content. I'm a big fan of Marketing Profs, Ann Hanley and the team over there. They do a lot of great content, which again is very approachable for today's marketers. And I just love the approach, the brand, the tone that they use. And I actually think it's a good example for all of us of good marketing as well. So I'd really recommend Marketing Profs as one. I use Demand Gen Report. They've got a lot of great content they publish on more specific demand gen topics. And then it's, you know, I follow a lot of great folks out there. Andrew Davis from Monumental Shift, who wrote Brandscaping and Loyalty Loop, and he's always got great content and folks like that. So that's where my head is right now.
Right. Okay. And, you know, if you were hiring a marketer, you're looking at, you know, you've been a CMO before, you've handled larger marketing teams, you've worked in mobile companies. Now, when you're looking at a marketer right now, you know, from this learning that you have from Vidyard and being the head of marketing at Vidyard, VP of marketing at Vidyard. Now, when you're currently hiring a marketer, what is that one quality that you will look for that you were probably not looking before?
So, you know, one thing I've started to learn, and this is a really hard quality to discover, is the curiosity factor in people. And I think that's so important in today's marketing, is people that, you know, of course they've got the skills and the experience, but do they have that kind of passion, but do they also have that curiosity factor where they're always trying to think about new ideas or learn something new or try a new idea? And that is so important right now for marketers. So that's something I'm trying to find, is that curiosity factor in people that's going to really drive them to stay ahead of the market and try new things.
Interesting. Okay. That's pretty much it. That's a wrap then. Do you have anything more to add to it? Did you enjoy the podcast?
Well, that was great. I appreciate the opportunity to be on and discuss this. I think it's an exciting time as, you know, marketers really focus on that front end of how they communicate with customers in more impactful ways and build those kinds of, you know, direct relationships. And so I think things like, you know, chat solutions, conversational marketing, video, these are things that we all just, you know, we got to get behind and think about how we're using them to create really personalized experiences and connect with buyers in much better ways in a human-to-human world. So really excited of what you guys are doing and appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Thank you for listening to Mind the Gap. Subscribe to our podcast at freshchat.com/mindthegap. You can check out our upcoming episodes and ask questions to our guest by sending an audio message there. If you enjoyed today's episode, share it with the world. See you guys soon.